So imagine holding a digital piñata, but instead of hitting it to get candy, you're hitting it to see if you can force it to spit out a highly censored, decades-old white supremacist manifesto.
Right, which is definitely not how Google intended people to use their new artificial intelligence.
No, definitely not. Welcome back to another deep dive, everyone. Today, we aren't looking at some polished academic paper or like a beautifully edited mainstream news article. We are plunging straight into the raw, unfiltered id of the internet.
Yeah, we are looking at a space that most people would honestly just immediately write off as pure noise. It's this massive, completely chaotic, anonymous image board thread.
And ironically, they titled this thread the Actually Talking About Crash Bandicoot
Yeah,
Edition.
the irony is doing a lot of heavy lifting there.
For sure. Because if you go in looking for tips on how to beat Dr. Neocortex or whatever, you are going to be severely disappointed. It is just a dizzying scroll of obscure memes, fragmented text, and rapid-fire arguments.
But treating it as just noise is a massive mistake. I mean, analyzing this thread is a real exercise in digital anthropology. It actually reveals the deep-seated anxieties of a generation that feels left behind.
Left behind by like the modern sanitized web.
Exactly, the corporate web.
Well, that's our mission for you on this deep dive. We're going to decode this digital chaos to understand how these highly insulated subcultures are currently grappling with the rapid rise of AI.
And how they process their really intense nostalgia.
Right. And ultimately, how they weaponize cynicism. Okay, let's unpack this because the way this community interacts with cutting-edge tech is fascinating. You'd think a very online community would love generative AI.
You really would. You'd expect them to use it to code or generate content, but they don't treat it as a tool. What's fascinating here is they treat it strictly as an adversary.
Yeah, they actively antagonize it. The specific details in this thread are just wild. They're obsessively experimenting with an AI they call Notebook, which is obviously Google's Notebook LM.
Though they derisively call it Scrotebook LLM.
Right, of course they do. And they're generating these automated audio discussions that they call slopcasts or slop seminars.
But they are feeding it normal articles. One user literally talks about trying to bypass the safety filters by feeding it the manual for Rehawa.
And for anyone listening who doesn't know, Rehawa is this notorious, deeply offensive white supremacist role-playing game from decades ago.
Yeah, it's universally recognized as awful. Fundamentally, it's just a terribly designed game, too.
Even the user admits it's a terrible game, but they keep submitting it to the AI anyway. They want to force the system to generate a podcast about it.
And when the AI inevitably rejects it or spits out what the users call a censored meta-analysis, they're frustrated, but they're also entirely unsurprised.
It's like they take pleasure in the rejection. They do the same thing with other AIs too, like Grok and Gemini.
Oh, the visual prompts.
Yes, giving them these bizarre prompts like Crash Bandicoot at Woodstock, or they try to get the AI to map out the medieval four humors.
And then they meticulously document how it fails, like how Grok gets obsessively fixated on minor details.
Right, like if the prompt mentions a backwards hat, the AI will make absolutely sure the character has a backwards hat, but completely ignore the actual context of the rest of the prompt.
They're essentially building a catalog of the machine's stupidity, which is a test of what developers call sentiment and censorship boundaries.
So, going back to my digital piñata analogy, they aren't trying to use it for productivity. They're beating it with a stick just to see what weird broken candy falls out. Are they trying to break the AI or just looking for validation that it's flawed?
I wouldn't even call it a piñata. It's more like they are probing the electric fence of a prison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they deeply resent the corporate guardrails of modern AI. By pointing out its absurd hyperfixation on a backwards hat, they're finding a way to reclaim power.
Because the technology is being forced on them by tech monopolies.
Exactly. If they can make the machine look hypocritical, it loses its authority.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. This obsessive need to poke holes in systems, it doesn't stop at AI. It extends directly into how they consume digital art.
The transition from tormenting AI to analyzing webcomics seems jarring, but the underlying mechanism is identical.
It's intense. They are fixated on a few specific webcomics, like Tetsuya Ishii's Sinfest and Olivia James' modern run of Nancy.
And they don't just critique them, they actively mock Sinfest's bizarre political shifts. They point out its Hitler mood boards.
And then they create these Frankenstein mashup parodies, Nanfest and Sinfi, taking the art styles, mangling the dialogue, and just forcing them together.
It's a highly active, almost aggressive form of consumption. They're dismantling the media.
And then there's Homestuck. The sheer volume of text they dedicate to analyzing the mechanics of Homestuck's art style is insane.
It really is. They have this massive debate about the villain character, Caliborn.
Right, because his art style is rigid and geometric. And they argue this represents the mathematical impossibility of perfectly replicating a circle using tiny pixel stairs.
Which is a fascinating structural observation.
Wait, hold on, though. If they hate these comics, or at least heavily criticize them, why spend hours doing graduate-level geometry on the pixel art of a villain? Is this genuine literary criticism or just obsessive hate reading?
It's anti-fandom. For these users, hate is a high-effort currency. When a community feels alienated, hyperanalyzing media they despise becomes a communal bonding exercise.
So it's about displaying intellectual superiority.
Yes. By dissecting the geometric flaws, they are defending the rigid, traditional, rule-based internet they grew up with.
And they contrast that rigid geometry with the fluid style of another character, Calliope.
Exactly. Which they associate with Tumblr aesthetics.
Right. To them, those fluid curves represent the boundaryless, algorithmic, modern web that they loathe. Which explains why they get so angry about mainstream audiences.
The Davikat shipping debate.
Yeah, they claim the mainstream completely misses the underlying irony of the Davikat relationship. To them, it represents the moment mainstream culture hijacked their niche inside jokes.
And sanitized them.
Right. But this intense fixation on older webcomics, retro games, it points to a deeper root cause. You can feel this profound generational anxiety.
A visceral feeling of cultural displacement.
They talk about Y2K core constantly. The aesthetic of the late 90s to late 2000s internet.
There is a genuine mourning taking place for that era.
One user put it in a way that honestly stopped me in my tracks. It was so poetic for an anonymous image board.
What did they say?
They wrote, "Millennials are their own Odysseus. We fought in the digital Trojan Wars. We sailed between Microsoft Scylla and Apple Charybdis. Now we are all trapped on App Store Island with the clawbot Calypsos."
Wow. Trapped on App Store Island.
It perfectly captures that feeling of surviving the wild west of the early internet, only to end up imprisoned in a walled garden of corporate apps.
And they want someone to blame.
Yeah, they point the finger at Gen X Goonsnark, referencing the old Something Awful forums. They say that cynical posture ruined internet culture.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, they are fiercely defending obscure media history because they feel like they're losing the future.
Like the Wikipedia editors debate. They call the editors spurgs and are genuinely furious that the page for Dempa music was deleted and merged.
Dempa being that really chaotic subgenre of Japanese music.
Right. And to an outsider, it just looks like standard Wikipedia moderation, consolidating a niche topic.
But to them, it's the literal erasure of their culture.
It's like someone burning down your weird local indie bookstore to build a Walmart. And then they pivot right from that into debating Super Smash Brothers mechanics.
The percentage health versus stamina mode debate.
Yes. Arguing which one represents the true essence of fighting games. They aren't just talking about a video game. They're talking as if the old ways of interacting with the digital world are slipping away.
Mourning the Y2K core internet isn't just about missing pixelated graphics. It's about grieving a decentralized internet, a time when they had ownership before algorithms took over.
Think about it. Think about your own favorite internet memories. A weird forum, a flash game. Now imagine someone paving over them to build a corporate app store. Are they just guarding the museum of their teenage years?
They are mourning a lost homeland. They were pioneers, and now they're locked in a sanitized theme park.
But this leads us to the darkest part of this ecosystem. Because they feel pushed out, they deliberately communicate in the most unsanitized, aggressively offensive ways imaginable.
To build a wall around their culture.
And before we get into the details of that wall, I need to speak directly to you, the listener. We are strictly acting as neutral observers here. We are not taking sides, and we absolutely do not endorse the extreme right-wing or left-wing viewpoints or the hateful rhetoric contained in these sources.
Right. We are just analyzing the mechanics of the space.
We are simply relaying what is happening because the thread is absolutely riddled with extreme, highly polarized commentary.
Touching on Donald Trump, Russia, the BRICS nations.
The Israel-Gaza conflict. And there is rampant use of racial slurs and extreme anti-LGBTQ sentiment, specifically targeting lesbians and transgender individuals with real vitriol.
And shockingly graphic copypastas.
Yeah, like there's this massive violent block of text listing hundreds of horrific ways to torture and kill the banned Limp Bizkit.
Which is such a bizarre artifact of older internet anger.
But it's so extreme. At what point does wrapping your communication in irony just become actual extremism?
This raises an important question about how the medium shapes the message. On an anonymous image board, there is zero social capital gained by being polite.
So the extreme rhetoric is deliberate.
It is a deliberate boundary marker, a linguistic barbed wire fence designed to repel normies, corporate entities, and those AI bots.
If you violate every terms of service, your space can't be monetized. It can't be assimilated into App Store Island.
Exactly. But the irony is a trap. It acts as a shield. But when you normalize extreme rhetoric as a defense mechanism, the line between playing a role and genuinely adopting extremist views completely dissolves.
So the barbed wire doesn't just keep outsiders away, it traps the insiders in constant toxicity.
The walls they built to protect their nostalgia end up poisoning the very community they were trying to save.
Wow. We have gone on quite a journey today for you all. We watched users treat Google's AI like an electric fence, feeding it white supremacist games.
We saw them audit the past, dissecting webcomic geometry to prove their intellectual dominance.
Unpacked the lament of the millennial Odysseus, mourning the decentralized internet while fighting Wikipedia editors over Japanese music.
And finally, confronted the linguistic barbed wire fence of their extreme rhetoric.
It is a wild, cynical space. But I want to leave you with one final thought to chew on. Right now, massive tech companies are scraping the entire internet to train the next generation of AI.
They need unfathomable amounts of text to teach these models how humans speak.
Which means these highly ironic, toxic forums are becoming part of the machine's brain. They are being digested as training data right alongside academic papers.
They are consuming absolutely everything.
So if an AI learns to mimic human communication by reading these exact threads, will the AI of the future learn to be an internet troll? Or will it simply reflect our own unfiltered cultural anxieties right back at us?
That is a terrifying archaeological find waiting for us in the near future.
Until next time, keep digging.